Good morning.
Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our
shadow. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So one day, this man was laying on his back, taking it easy, looking into the sky, meditating. After some time, he decides to talk to God. He says, "Lord, God, how long is a million years?" God answered, "From my perspective, about a minute." The man then asked, "God, how much is $1 million? "To me, just a penny." The man then asked God, "Can I have a penny?" God said, "In a minute." I like that one. I'll share some words with you that are a turning point in our Lord's ministry. When the days drew near for him, for Christ to be received up, he set his face towards Jerusalem. The days that Christ to be received up, of course, is of his ascension, his return to the Father through the cross and empty tomb, the completion of his Lord, of his work on the earth. So when all this is complete, so Christ points himself towards Jerusalem to fulfill this for us. And from this point on in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' focus is all about going to Jerusalem and offering his life up for the life of the world. And today, brothers and sisters, in the church, we also begin setting our faces towards Jerusalem. Big ships turn slow. The church, in its loving wisdom, knows it will take us some time to get our ship turned around and begin our Lenten journey towards Jerusalem, to our Lord's cross, to his tomb, and his life-creating resurrection. And before every sports competition, the competitors warm up. They do stretches, they run some laps, and you try to get your head into the game. Today is Zacchaeus Sunday. We heard the Gospel of Zacchaeus. And today we begin working on getting our head into the game. Beginning today and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be warming up our souls and our hearts to get ready to battle the sin that's in our lives in the arena of repentance. Great Lent. Now, Zacchaeus, he was a tax collector. As we know, tax collectors knocked on your door, looked you over, checked you out, and decided how much you could afford to pay. And part of that payment was a little extra for them to put in their pocket. To his fellow Jews, Zacchaeus was considered a traitor. Of course, he worked for the enemy. And he was taking money, stealing, in a sense, money from the people, overcharging, etc. And tax collectors were considered the biggest of sinners. And ironically, or maybe appropriately, the name Zacchaeus means pure and innocent one. His name foreshadows his repentance, which is the main point of today's gospel. As Jesus travels to Jerusalem, he passes through Jericho, and there's a big crowd around him. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, because Zacchaeus is vertically challenged, as we read in the gospel. He runs ahead and climbs a sycamore tree so he can watch Jesus come by. And staying in the tree, he's very passive. He's not saying a thing. We don't hear him waving or anything like that. He's just up in the tree. He's only a spectator. But in his divinity, Jesus knew where Zacchaeus' heart was. Our Lord approaches the tree. He looks up and says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry up, get on down here. For today," and this is our focus, "for today, I must stay at your home, at your house." Think about it, how crazy and unusual the circumstance is. Zacchaeus is in a tree. He has never met Jesus. He has never spoken to Jesus. He probably knows a little bit about him. That's why he's interested. And yet Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' home. And without hesitation, Zacchaeus accepts. And when Jesus tells Zacchaeus he must stay at his home, in the Greek, it is more than that. Than what we hear. It's more than, "I am coming for dinner. I'm going to visit. I'm going to watch TV with you. I'm going to spend the night. I'm going to have breakfast with you in the morning. I'm going to depart." It doesn't say that. That's not the implication here. Because the word in Greek for Jesus uses for stay is menyo. And menyo means to remain, to abide, to dwell, to not depart. So when Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "I must menyo, I must stay at your house," it is more than hanging out. It is a long-term abiding presence. Now, watch this. You know, when a priest comes over to your home to bless your home, he refers to Zacchaeus in the prayers. Why? It's not because it's a parallel, yeah, I'm visiting your house and Jesus visits Zacchaeus' house. It is because we are praying for the staying, the ongoing dwelling, the menu of God in your home. Listen to that. It's fantastic. It's the same idea as receiving the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus is in his upper room. Just after the Last Supper, Jesus says to the disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to Father, and he will send you a helper. He will send you the Holy Spirit, that he may abide, that he may menyo, remain, live with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you and will be with you." Jesus says here, of course, if we love God, we follow God, if we live in communion with God, we will become a dwelling place of God. God will menyo in us. In the words of Paul, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, anywhere God is, anywhere God dwells, is a temple of God. Us being temples of the Holy Spirit, this church temple, that's why we walk, when we come here, we act with reverence, because it's God's dwelling place. God is here. And I would add to us, it's to be our homes also. I remember as a little boy, walking around, I was whistling in a house. My grandma was saying, "God's here. Don't whistle in his presence." You know, pointing to the icons. He says, "It's rude." She just didn't want me to whistle. But she knew the game. She knew the church is a little home, a little church temple. The reason why we make reverence to God coming to Zacchaeus' house during the blessing of homes is because our homes are to be a place also where God dwells. Where God abides, where God is welcome, and where he makes his home continually with us. I want to emphasize this. Our homes are a little church. It's what we make it. You know, we cannot not make it. We can just make it a building. But it can be a home where there's love, and where there's God, where there's the Holy Spirit, where it's a little church. 24/7, just as this building is. And because our homes are little churches, it is custom in part to pattern our home after the church. For example, when you enter a church, as you do here, or you enter a monastery, there's always an icon to venerate. In the OCMC down the street, in the lobby, when you out walk in, the first thing to do there is to venerate an icon. And that icon is a beautiful, because it's the mission center, St. Herman, with, of course, Christ in the icon and his relic. And even in our church office here, many years ago, one of the secretaries put the icon up eye level so that when she went in and out, she could venerate the icon. I thought it was awesome. And so likewise in our home, when you walk in, there should be an icon to venerate, because it's a little church. We're following that pattern. And when I visit an Orthodox home and I come in to bless a home, first thing I do is I walk in the door, I look for an icon to venerate. If not, I just simply make the sign of the cross, because it's holy ground. It's supposed to be a little church. And just as here we have the iconostasis and the altar table in our homes, what do we have? Or what should we have? Home altars, a place where the family gathers to pray. We have a home, when our kids were little home, they would gather with us every night at our home altar. And at the home altar is at least an icon of Christ, right? Christ, Theotokos, a cross, holy water, in case we need to use it, some incense, we have the incense burner. Even a Bible, or nearby a Bible, and maybe even a relic. Right? Somebody blessed me one time with a relic of St. Theodore. It's in our icon corner. And by the way, I can say, blessing some homes, I've seen some really beautiful icon corners. Family altars, whatever you want to call it. Even in children's rooms, they would have their little place that they pray. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And our homes, every meal, you know, the meal is Eucharistic. When we eat in the dining room, there should be an icon of either Christ, the Theotokos, Last Supper, or maybe the hospitality of Abraham, which is Eucharistic, totally, okay? And just like before communion, we say the Lord's Prayer, don't we, here, right? In our homes before we eat, we should give at least a prayer of thanksgiving, if not say the Lord's Prayer. And when a priest here at the church, he senses the walls of the church. He blesses it. He separates it from the world and dedicates it to God. That's why the deacon, before every liturgy, goes around and does a great sensing. It's to separate it from the world, to remind it separated from the world. And the priest, when he blesses your home with holy water, he's doing the same thing. He's reclaiming it from this world as the holy place. And in a very real way, the holy water is purging all the fights that took place in that house, all the misbehaving, all the bad words, and reclaiming it as God's holy temple. And you, all of you, as members of the royal priesthood, when something bad happens in your home, you have a fight with your spouse, whatever it may be, you finish, you repent, bless your home. Dedicate it back to God again. Ask forgiveness. It's a good thing to do. And you don't need a priest to come do it. You can do it yourself. You are priests. And I also want to add this. It is not the plentitude of icons that make our homes holy and sacred. It is the plentitude of prayers, the love and the forgiveness that makes our homes sacred ground. So I'm going to close with this. Just as our Lord said to Zacchaeus to make haste, come down from that tree, I must menu at your house. God says to us, make haste, for today he must menu in our homes. I must abide in your home. I must dwell in your home. I must dwell in your house. Our homes are God's homes. They are his dwelling place too. A place, our little family church, a place where God is glorified. Yes, just as we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives, our homes are to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our homes are an abode, are to be made an abode of God, a place where the King of Glory dwells, and a place where God is glorified. To him be glory, honor, worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.